Hello, world. This is Louis Patron welcoming
Love
you
Talk Radio.
Talk show with Key West Lou. Tuesday Talk with Key West Lou. This is a new time for the show and a new name. I originally started the show several weeks ago at 7 in the morning. People were listening, not enough. So I decided to listen to those who were saying, I'd listen in the afternoon, I'd listen in the evening. So here I am at 9 o'clock in the evening. We're going to do a half-hour show, and this is a talk call-in show, and I would hope some of you would call in to chat with me. The call-in number is 646-478-5731. I repeat, 646-478-5731. I know you're already on there. I can tell how many people are listening at all. But I don't have anyone calling in yet, waiting to speak with me. And since this is a talk show, I'm here at 9 o'clock because I want to talk with you. So call me. Some of the things we might talk about this evening that might be of interest, the minimum wage. The president suggested go up to $9 an hour. The Republicans are giving them some guff on the issue. Sequestration, we're 10 days away, and is our economy going to go bust? Should we take the hit we're going to take? Can't the Republicans and the Democrats get together? Whose fault is it? I don't know anymore. And what about Senator Graham and the Hagel nomination? I think he's been behaving like a nut, Senator Graham. We could talk about that. Or here in Key West, we've had an exciting thing happen this week. A very exciting thing. There are only two supermarkets in this town, Publix and Winn-Dixie. Someone bought a lottery ticket at Publix in Key West. That's where I shop. Someone bought a lottery ticket there. The winning ticket in the Florida lottery for $17 million. God bless America. We don't know if it's a local or a tourist who was in. The winner has not as yet identified himself or herself, but I think that's exciting. That is a life changer. God bless. We can talk about the drones, D-R-O-N-E-S, and the ethical aspect of using drones to bomb, whether judicial approval is required to annihilate via a drone an American citizen who's gone over and joined Al-Qaeda. Interesting topic. How about the Pope? Pope Benedict XVI. I'm bothered by his resignation. It came awfully quick. He said, last week he was going to resign the first of the month. He gave about 3 weeks' notice due to ill health. Now they're saying, we don't want to wait as long to vote a new pope, and we could do it within 2 weeks instead of the several we're supposed to take because the pope didn't die. They've got extra time in there. Why the rush to get rid of one pope and get a new one? Maybe there's nothing here. Maybe there is something there. There are investigations going on right now. The papacy. The papacy is very disorganized and very much operating under a difficult situation at the present time. Good topic to talk about. And what else? That would cover it pretty good. Syracuse basketball. There are Syracuse fans listening here. I know. They write me after the show. They write tomorrow morning after my morning blog. I want to hear from you. Give me a call. I mean, I've got Tom Dixon up in Buffalo. I got Bob Marks in Las Vegas. I want you to call. Talk to me. I know you fellas have interest in Syracuse basketball and everything else I chatted about already. Okay, 646-478-5731. Those of you outside the country, you Skype to call in here. This show, by the way, is archived. It's archived. As soon as I'm done, there's an archiving system. You can find it on your screen how to get to it. So those of you who are not able to listen to me at 9 o'clock Eastern Time here, Eastern Standard Time, because you are in Papua New Guinea, in Milan, Italy, in London, England, in Kalisdorp, South Africa, or in Iowa, Nebraska, California, Arizona, South America, Canada, and you're in a different time zone, you can pick this up anytime because it's archived and you get this show, in effect, live to you. Okay, I'm going to have to talk to myself for a while. I can see it coming here. I want to talk about the minimum wage. I think we have to talk about these things, explore them, and look behind what's not apparent. The minimum wage is $7.25 an hour right now. It's been that way, I think, since 2007. In 2007 was the first raise in 10 years. Now it's what? It's six more years, and the president wants a raise of $1.25 to $9. The Republicans are against it. I got to say it that way because that's a fact. Boehner came out, the Speaker of the House came out today after the State of the Union message and said, oh, no way. We know what will happen. You raise the minimum wage. Small businesses are going to go out of business. Well, the Republicans have been saying this for 100 years. No, since we had a minimum wage. I am exaggerating. But they keep talking like that. And now several people have gone out and done studies in the last few years on whether raising the minimum wage adversely affects the economy of a business. Bottom line, it does not. There's a minimal impact initially, but it's nothing. It puts no one out of business. So that's a crock, like a lot of crocks the Republicans hand us in recent times. Getting back to the minimum wage. You've got to remember that in this country today, we do not have a middle class. We have the very rich at the top, and then we've got the working poor and poor people in between. No one's really well off if you're not rich, rich, rich. Okay. The minimum wage, let me show you how terrible this minimum wage situation is. The minimum wage in 1955 was 75 cents an hour. I remember I was in college and working at the time, 75 cents an hour. Today, 2013, 58 years later, it's gone from 75 cents an hour to $7.25 an hour. A raise of $6.50 over a period of 58 years. That sucks. I mean, anyone who looks at that would say, my God, these people who've been working for minimum wage, they don't make any money. It doesn't give people enough to get started and live. But I want to put it to you another way, and I think this says it all. If you take what the minimum wage was in 1955 and what it is today, the increase on a yearly basis has been 12 cents. You heard me. The increase to the minimum wage per year for 58 years has been 12 cents. Shame on us. Shame on our government. And I'll tell you why. If you take today's minimum wage of $7.25 an hour, you know what the gross is on that? The annual income is $15,000. Let's say you got a husband and wife working. They both make minimum wage. That brings them to a total of $30,000. Now they have two children. The numbers say that is below the poverty level. They're not making enough to even be at the poverty level in this country. A disgrace. We're the United States of America. We're supposed to be big and everything. We're supposed to be great. We've got some problems right now, but we'll get through these. But we're not taking care of everybody that we should. And you must take care of your neighbors, and you must take care of your brothers and your sisters. That's the Christian way, and that's the proper way. That's one of the functions of government from my perspective. And you can call and discuss and argue the point with me. I'd love to hear from you. The other thing is that let's look now at the corporations. CEOs in 1955, when they were paying, the CEOs of corporations were paying a minimum wage of 75 cents an hour in 1955. CEOs in those days were making $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 a year. Presidents of the companies weren't making that much money. Today, we know, we've been reading about this since 2007, 2008, since our recession began here. This, many CEOs are making $10, $20, $30, $40 million a year. 1 year, $40 million, $20 million. That's a lot of money. And on a proportionate basis, the CEOs are making a hell of a lot more money than the people, the working poor, as I call them, who work for minimum wage. This problem cries out for correction. The president is right. It's been too long. And here's another way of looking at it. I am very disturbed that the people who oppose the minimum wage, I'm talking about those who must make it law, our congressmen, Senate, House of Representatives, I refer to them as congressmen, our congressmen earn $174,000 a year. $174,000 a year, and they would begrudge the working poor a raise to $9 an hour. Plus, our congressmen get the best medical plan in the world, free medical. And I'll bet you that probably a third or less of the working poor have hospitalization, have a medical plan, because they can't afford it. But those people are going to vote on whether they should get $9 an hour. We make $174,000 a year plus free medical. A lot of them don't think it's right that this race go into effect. It will hurt some of the businesses in this country. Don't make sense to me. The other thing is, if you're working, you get a week or 2 weeks vacation. Look at these congressmen. They just took 10 days off. We're in terrible shape. We're facing sequestration in 10 days. We got all kinds of other problems. The Congress of the United States is on vacation for 10 days. They did not start working the first working day of the in January. They only work, and I don't know how many people in this country are aware of this, they only work from Tuesday through Thursday. They work a three-day week. They say, well, on the other days, I have to be in my home district because I've got to meet my constituents and take care of their needs. They've got to be on the golf course playing golf and at the country club. They don't care. We're out of whack in this country. All right, and this is a perfect example, this $9 per hour thing. Where are you? You who promised to call in, there were a number of you. You've written to me about it. You've told me to my face, Herschel, where are you? Herschel, where are you? Herschel's a brilliant man. He's the chief engineer in the Florida Keys for the electric company, Keys Power and Electric or something, whatever it's called. Brilliant man. Political freak like I am. He enjoys politics. We talk it a lot. We get together several times a week. I run into him and his good wife, Erica, who's the controller at the Key West Citizen, our local newspaper. And we talk politics and we talk what's happening in the government. I thought, sure, I'd hear from you tonight, Herschel. Where are you? Anyhow, let's go on to another subject, the sequestration. I understand sequestration probably as much as you understand sequestration. All I know is the Republicans and Democrats, last year or the year before, they couldn't decide on how to reduce the budget, so they cut a few things out, and they said by this date, we're going to come in with bigger cuts, and if we don't, then these dramatic cuts are going to take place. Cuts that would not normally make in one shot. And this is to help balance the budget. It's something like, I don't know, $2.4 billion or trillion, $2.4 billion or so. I don't understand. All I know is it's a lot of money. It's gonna cut defense. You go to a state like Virginia that has its industry is based on making airplanes and things like that. They're gonna take a hit. The president said U.S. attorneys are going to have to close their files and not prosecute some criminals. Many U.S. attorneys are going to be furloughed. FBI members are going to be furloughed, a nice way for saying they are going to be laid off. School teachers are going to take a big hit. The police departments, I'm talking, and fire departments, they're called first responders now. They're going to take a dramatic hit. There will be fewer. And this is the way it's going to be. And this all happens in one day. We'll feel the effects probably 2 or 3 weeks later. It's going to increase our unemployment. It's going to hurt the economy. It's going to affect things worldwide. I don't know. This is beyond my job definition, understanding. All I know is, and I believe it, my president says we've got to do something. The Republicans say we've got to do something also. The only trouble is they say the president doesn't really want to do anything. He's not serious, so we're not going to do anything. And if we go into sequestration and we get hurt, there's only one place to blame. It's those people who right now have a 12% popularity rating. It's probably going to drop to -2. Our congressmen, they're screwing up big time. All right. The number is 646-478-5731. 646-478-5731. Those of you who are listening probably read my blog every day. I have been writing a blog for about 7 years here in Key West. I call it Key West Lou. Every morning when I get out of bed, I sit down at the computer and I do my blog for the day, which is merely a recitation of what I did the day before. I would like you to read it. It takes 20 seconds. It's not profound. I'm telling you, I talk about what I did the day before. Yesterday, I was babysitting, for example, for my grandkids from 11 to 4. They're 8 and 7 years old. I took them to lunch at Five Guys. Then we came back here. I was tired. I went to sleep, and they played and watched TV and played with their tablets. They babysat me. That's what I talk about. And I talk about this lucky person who bought a lottery ticket at Publix. And this is our first time to have a winner here, Mr. $17 million winner. That's fantastic. Okay, so read my blog. Because if you read my blog, it tells you about the show. It tells you to get ready for the show. It tells you how to find the show and everything else. Tell your friends to read the blog if you like the blog. The blog is everything. Everything emanates from the blog. Okay, now, let's see. Where are we going to go now? Let's talk about Lindsey Graham. I want to tell you, I'm disappointed tonight. Nobody's calling me up. No one's calling. Oh, my God. Embarrassment of embarrassments. I'm not embarrassed. Eventually, people have to call. This is a terrific way of communicating on issues for people to listen to. This could be an exciting show if I had someone to talk with, several people to talk with. I'd like to go from one caller to another, maybe 3 or 4 in a half hour. Senator Lindsey Graham is from South Carolina. He's been senator for either 2 or 3 terms. He's a big shot in the United States Senate. He's a Republican. He's a very good friend of Senator McCain's. He used to be a friend of Chuck Hagel, who was a Republican senator at one time for 2 terms, as was Senator McCain. Now the president's appointed Hagel to be he's nominated Hagel for the position of Secretary of Defense. And Lindsey Graham says, no, I don't think he's qualified. And John McCain, who was, excuse me, his asshole buddy for years, says, I don't think he's qualified. Well, we know why McCain is saying that. McCain, Hagel was McCain's friend. They were very good friends. But when Obama ran, Hagel did not take a position in the election. He didn't support McCain. He didn't support Obama. Also, Hagel was against our getting into Iraq. Soon he voted for it initially, and within a matter of months decided it was a bump call from that point forward for 10 years, was opposed to our getting involved in the war in Iraq. He thought it was a crime. So I don't know what to tell you. All I know is these people are going crazy. Lindsey Graham is behaving like a school kid. He jumps, and he's got his arms flailing, and he's saying, hey, I'm not going to do anything until the president does this, this, and this. I'm not going to be pushed around. I have the right of advice and consent, which he does. The interesting thing in all this is Lindsey Graham from South Carolina has to run for re-election in 2014. Big Tea Party in South Carolina. 2014, Tea Party ain't happy with Lindsey Graham. So all of a sudden, Lindsey Graham is trying to suck up to the Tea Party members in this state so they don't run a primary against him, all right? That's what he's fearful of, and that's why he's acting like this, I believe. Which brings me to my point. What's happened to character? People should have character. Abraham Lincoln, I think, had character. When people go to the Congress of the United States, you know, sometimes you got to stand up and do the right thing. Why make a fool of yourself? Why make a fool of your president? Why make a fool of your country? Actually, if you're making a fool of yourself, you're not making a fool of your president. But these guys, and I've got to say, these congresspersons, there's some women who are congresspersons also, like Michelle Bachmann. They're nuts, too. She's nuts. That's all I can say. They don't do us any credit. I don't think they have what I consider character to be stand up, say what you think, do what's proper, and let the chips fall where they may. Okay, I told you about the public thing, the lottery ticket. Probably what bothers me the most is I shop in Publix. That's another thing I write about in my blog. I told you it's mundane, but it can be interesting. I have found, I've been living alone now going on 8 years, and I have found I like going to Publix. I, who never bought anything in a grocery store, the 46 years I was practicing law, I never went to a drugstore. Either my former wife did it or people did it for me. I was too busy working as a lawyer. Now I have to go because I'm taking care of myself. No problem. I like going to Publix because I have met so many people in Publix. It's amazing how many people I meet when I'm squeezing the watermelon or, you know, something or a cantaloupe. Generally, women, they come up and they tell me how to buy these things and so forth. And then I see them outside the store in the evening in town or in a restaurant. Nice people. I rarely buy a lottery ticket. I'm in Publix 3 or 4 times a week because I'm not a big shopper. I buy what I'm going to eat for the next 2 days. I like going back and forth. I have nothing to do in retirement. That's why I'm doing this show and doing the blog in the morning, and I shop 3 or 4 times a week at Publix. You have to fill in your time in retirement. But I've been going to Publix now for, 15 years since I bought the house here. And it's interesting. I probably buy a lottery ticket once or twice a year there. Now I wish I'd bought one every day, every time I went in, because they got all kinds of lotteries here in Florida. And this is the first time we've had the big winner in Florida Keys there, and it is exciting. God, can you imagine? $17 million, that's about $8 million clear after taxes. That's a lot of money. Recession or no recession, a person and his family can live well, and charities can survive too. That is a lot of money. God bless America. Let's talk about the drones. You know what the drones are. It's amazing. In my lifetime, what I've seen, I'm 77 years old. So, I used to look at my father. He died last year at 98, and I say it's amazing what he has seen in his lifetime. He was there for a touch of World War I. He was born in 1914. So he may not have understood it, but I think at 4 years old, you can understand the war because of the way your family and your neighbors react. So he's there for World War I. He was there for the Big Depression. I don't know how many times my mother and father, especially my mother, sat me down and told me about the Depression. Watch your money. You never know. I remember when I bought my first house, my mother says, "You sure you're doing the right thing? Can you afford it?" And it was a little box house. It wasn't the big one I ultimately bought. She says, "You sure you can pay for this? It cost all of $16,500 back in, I don't know, 1963, I think. But things have changed. We used to fight wars in trenches in World War One. Then in, using manpower. Then in World War Two, it wasn't just those long trenches and you went up in one line against the other, the enemy and you. Now it was different type of warfare, but you still use soldiers and they're moving from house to house, tree to tree, both sides, and people are involved. On the ground, killing. We had big time air wars in World War II. We had minor air wars in World War One. And as we went through, this is wonderful, isn't it? What a nice thing to talk about. This country, the war to end all wars was World War One. The second war was definitely the war to end all wars. Then we had Korea, Vietnam, Iraq, Afghanistan, and there were a couple more thrown in there where we put soldiers in. But we don't like, our presidents don't like to tell the people that so many people were killed, 1,000 soldiers, 4,000 soldiers. They're human beings. They have families. It's not right. So now we've developed planes that fly without anyone in them. That's a drone. Somebody sits back in a building somewhere and they operate just like they operate a computer. They got a few levers, and they fly these planes. They can go any place. And they can put a bomb in a doorway from I don't know how many feet up. Very accurate. Very few citizens are injured this way who may be in the area. But there seems to be an ethical question about the use of drones. I find no ethical question. Whenever you can save an American life rather than the enemy's life, you save the American's life. I've always felt that Harry Truman was absolutely correct in dropping the atomic bomb. Because he did, he saved 200,000 American lives. Because the Japanese weren't going to give up their islands. They were going to defend it till the last soldier died. We would have lost a ton of men. So, there would have been 200,000 injured and killed, I'm sorry. So that's where we are there. And I also think that if we have an American who decided to join Al-Qaeda, and he's sitting over in Afghanistan in a cave, and he's plotting against us, and we know that he's one of the planners of things against his former country, he has no rights. He's decided to join the enemy, even though it is in a formal country. And why? Because a lot of people are screaming for both parties. We got to have due process. Why do we have to go before a judge before we kill him? We know he's the enemy. This is war. I don't care how you cut it. I believe once the American makes the decision to join the enemy, he's dead. That's the way it goes. So the strong things makes for interesting stuff. Let's talk for a second about basketball, Syracuse basketball. You people are listening that didn't call me, called in to talk to me, and I'm pointing a finger at two guys, Bob Marks out in Vegas and Tom Dixon in Buffalo. Not a great year. Syracuse is right now, I think we're eighth or sixth ranked in the country. We lost four games. We're not great this year. We've had great seasons. Not great this year. It seems like no college basketball team is great this year. I think five or six teams have been number one. As soon as they get ranked number one, they get beat the next week. I have a prediction. The winner of the Final Four this year will be someone none of us are considering at this time. Yeah. That's the way it's going to go because that's the kind of year it has been. Okay. I thank you for listening and thank you for joining me for my first evening show. I will be continuing this. But I got to have people calling me and talking to me for my ego, for my benefit, not for the station's benefit or anything else. I enjoy doing this, but I really, really would like to have an exchange with people, a friendly exchange, because I know I get so many emails from people who tell me I'm crazy. These are my friends who are on the Republican right. We're good friends. They get it to me when I say something out of line. Let's say it to each other. We're not going to hurt each other's feelings. We are friends. And if we're not, we don't know each other. I don't care. How bad can it be that we disagree on something? So next week, come back. Oh, please come. I want you to know I love doing this tonight, even though I had no one to talk with. I thank you very much for joining me. That's the show for this week, folks.